It's Philippians chapter 4. Thank you for praying for us. Sunday we were in Toledo, Ohio. We was at the Heritage Baptist Church. Pastor Dan Allis. We ordained 3 men for the gospel, the ministry of Christ. They had a full building. They had almost double what they normally run on a regular basis. And there was all kinds of people from different churches. And of course, me and Rosie pastored there for 9 years. I worked in all them churches, preaching all. There's hardly a fundamental church in Toledo, Ohio that I haven't preached in. When I was young, I preached all in all kinds of churches there. They had me preach there. They weren't afraid of me stealing no people because I couldn't preach that good. And plus, my church was down in the ghetto, and everybody was afraid to come there. But I had a real closeness with the preachers there, and I got to ordain a couple young men that were underneath my ministry. Well, Jeff was underneath my ministry when I was in Toledo, and we had a great day. Saw some folks I hadn't seen for maybe 20 years, and just had a great day, good time. Fired away, man. Brother Eddie, I came right up to, man, I was fired. I mean, I was letting it fly. The Lord let me, you know, I didn't have to do Sunday school, so all I had to do was preach in one service, and man, I'll tell you, I let it fly, buddy. Rosie said, your face was beet red the whole message. She said, you scared me. I said, I felt great. And trying to put something in those preachers' heart. Preaching's a serious business. And the silver hairs won't be here all the time. And it's the younger generation that's going to have to take over and keep going. And so thank you for praying for us. We had a good time. We probably stayed there to 3 o'clock or so with the people. They had a big fellowship afterwards, and people just, you know, kept coming to me. And one fellow was, the family was a Dashner, and that used to be next to my grandma's farm. There was a Dashner, and because he married one of the Skyver girls, she would have been an aunt, and so we were related to. And I met some more Dashners and different families, and we had a good time. Just a good time talking to people. There was a young man there that about 30 years old. He's excited for Christ. He said he heard me preach when he was younger, and I guess he got saved at the Lighthouse, and he had a wife and some children, and just a lot of great things. His name was Mullins, and I knew some kids named Mullins, but I don't know if they were related to him. But we had a great time. I know Brother Pastor Dave did a great job preaching, so thank you for being faithful. Tonight, I just want to bring you a little praise for God in Philippians chapter 4. Why don't you look with me there? Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. If we got time, I get done preaching, I'll let you have some testimonies. I put a few more stuff in here than I had planned, Billy, after I made the call. Notice what it says. And how many got Philippians 4, verse 5? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And people ought to see in our lifestyle that we believe the Lord's at hand. In our walk, in our dress, in our talk, in what we do. They ought to see it. The Lord's at hand. And Brother Mike, if we really believe he's at hand, I got a feeling we're going to have a different countenance and a different way with people, with a different attitude, and everything we do will be more for God than it would be for the world. Be careful for nothing, verse 6. But in everything, by prayer. In other words, don't do anything without prayer. Prayer and supplication. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. Boy, last year, a little over a year ago, Mike, you led the banner with these people praying for me. I'm glad you folks made those requests for me, because I'm here today kicking. And I feel I'm really starting to kick pretty good. You know? And the peace of God, verse 7, I'll stop. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. If you do it 5 and 6 says, then the peace of the peace of God which passes on shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, it's amazing. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. You can always tell what a man's thinking by how he reacts. If he's not thinking good, he's not going to react good. Hello? And if we would keep Christ in our hearts, close to him, close in our minds. Now, I know you can't think about every moment of your day. I understand that. But he ought to be in your heart all the time. There ought to be a time he's never in your heart. I know you have, when you got to work, you got to concentrate on what you're working. But when you take that coffee break, you could tell someone about Jesus. Amen? I want a lot of people to Christ, even when I worked a factory. Some of the kids, they came up to me, and some of the people, and when I started that storefront, when I go back, it always brings up old memories. And I thought about when we started that storefront, there was a Erie Food Market, like a little grocery store, small, but a small one, about half the size of Giant Eagle. Used to, years ago, was when I was a kid, it was a Kroger's or something, but AMP, I can't remember which one it was. But they took this Erie Food Market, bought it, and after I got saved, and I started that building across the street, I witnessed to all those cash register girls. You know, I won about every one of those. I won Kathy Pollock and Sherry and a bunch of those girls. I won about three or four tellers to Christ that worked in that store. You know what? They start coming to Lighthouse. My church, Steve, we started with nobody, just me and Rosie and the kids, four of us. The first service, we had 22 in Sunday school, 26 in church. And Brother Nowak, by the time we were 6 weeks old, we were already running in the 60s, and I didn't take anybody's people. We just kept winning them up and down the street. They just came to church. Amen? And, you know, look what it says there. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. God wants us to let people know what we think. People ought to know you're a Christian by the way you talk, by the way you act, by the way you work. We ought to be the best workers in the plant. I mean that. We ought to have a testimony for Christ. In those lunchrooms when they tell them dirty jokes, the Christian ought not be there listening to it. And we ought not be cussing with the rest of them. Hello? You know what's sad, Brother Mike? People can have a testimony for Christ, and they could just slip up one time, and everything you built, you toppled it over. So we have to be really, look what it says there, be careful. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men, and the Lord is at hand. He is. We ought to be letting people know, hey, Christ could come. By the way, we're planning tomorrow to go to my son David Richards, the newer home, and they're going to have, man, we're going to have ham and turkey, I mean pies and cakes and cookies and you name it, man, the cranberries. Everything you guys make, we're going to have it. And I'm going to participate. I'm going to do my part. We're going to have a blast. I might have an upset stomach at the end of the day. But boy, while we're there, I'm going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to have fun until they take the T-Bird away. Amen. And so, but God says we ought to have, the Lord is at hand. That means we ought to have in our mindset, Christ could come right now. In the midst of that, celebrating tomorrow, we'll be at the, we need to have a mindset. It could happen. Christ could come right then. And I hope he does. I'll tell you, I wish he'd come right now. And so be careful with that mindset. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, let your thanksgiving, your request be made known unto God. God says, give me your heart. God wants our heart. And God wants us to be in his heart all the time. Now, I noted this. It should not take a holiday to let us have praise and worship for our Savior. Every day ought to be a holiday. There should be a praise in our, there should be a praise on our lips every day we're allowed to live. Boy, life is, you know what? My life was almost snuffed out a year ago. Now, I wasn't aware that I was dying, Billy. But afterwards, I realized, wow, man, how did I make it? God's people prayed. God listened and answered your prayers. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you imagine? If you wouldn't have prayed, this old turkey wouldn't be here this Thanksgiving. You guys prayed this old turkey back in. God's ready to pluck my feather and take me home. Amen. And no, you were steadfast in praying. Thank you for that. But I noted this. There should always be a praise on our lips every day we're allowed to live. We should not only have praise, but also thankfulness in our heart. I think many times we take things for granted. There ought to be more thankfulness in my heart, and I think if you'd examine your heart, I think many times we take things for granted. We take a nice warm house. We take a nice hot meal. We need a car to drive. Clothes to wear. We take things for granted. There's people that don't have clothes, shoes. I mean, you say, well, we don't. Listen, we got a lot more than most people. Don't take things. We should have praise and thankfulness on our lips and our heart continually. God is good to us always. Did you hear what I said? God is good to us always, and God is good to us every day. We might not be having a good day every day, but I'm going to tell you, God's good to us every day. Just that day alone is God's good. God's good in the good times, and God's good in the bad times. We prayed for Debbie last night, and I said, oh, God, please come down. I'm going to tell you, she's kept the faith, man. She's still looking for Jesus to work for him, to serve him. You know, she hadn't let those circumstances stop her from loving Christ. Circumstances shouldn't stop us either. Tomorrow we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. By the way, I said God is good in the good times and God's good in the bad times. He is. Even when I was in the hospital 38 days and almost died, God was still good. Because every one of us have a heartache and a trial. Until we get through this life, we're going to have that. By the way, we got it because of Adam. Adam brought all our trouble on. I'm glad the last Adam took care of it, though. Amen. Tomorrow, we celebrate Thanksgiving, a day all of us need to take time and reflect on. I hope every one of us will, and I will too, reflect on the blessings of God. Just having your family is a blessing. Just being able to be alive and to do something is a blessing. Amen? We ought to take a time of reflection. Your family and friends and your church. And just all what God's done for you. Just think, a little over a year ago, I was blessed to walk out of that hospital. I didn't walk out of the hospital. Just about a year, they put me in a wheelchair and I was wheeled out of that hospital. Hallelujah, I couldn't wait to get out. I couldn't walk, but I'll tell you, that old walker, that old wheelchair just rolled me right out. Some of those men built a ramp so I can roll me up in the house. And God was good. Then a few days, and I started to be able to walk on the walker. And then I went to a cane. Then I started walking without a cane. Now I can walk. Sunday, I got so, Brother Noah, Sunday, I got so excited. By the way, me and Rosie got married in that church years ago. It's called Antioch Baptist Inn. And I came right down those steps. I thought, oh, don't fall, make an idiot out of yourself. But God kept me upright. I just was flinging at those preachers and grabbing and shaking. You'd have been proud of me, Eddie. And old Jeff had that beard. And no one touches it. It's sacrilegious. No one can touch. I went right up to old Jeff. He was down in that front row, him and his wife. I can't remember what I said. I grabbed his beard, and I said, I'm going to tell you then after he said, "Preacher, you realize no one ever touches that beard?" And I said, "I do." He said, "You're lucky I ain't got a razor. I'd cut it off." Now, it's nothing wrong to have a beard, but I just think it looks stupid on Jeff. I tell him, I love him. How many know him? Remember Jeffy? I love Jeffy. He loves the Lord. He's tremendous, and he's a good preacher, too. He's a goober. He looks like an Amish. I said, "Jeffy would make it great up there in Portage County, up there in Hudson. Middlefield, yeah." I said, "Man, you'd fit right in Middlefield, Jeff." He said, "Well, preacher, I think it's distinction." I said, "Yeah, I think you're distinguishing nut too." But he won't cut that beard off. I've been at him for about 5 years. He still won't cut. But I grabbed it, boy. I had his ordination. I grabbed it, and he's, "Wow, no one ever does that. You ain't been around me, pal. I do it." The church loved it. I told him to cut it. I said, because they're trying to have a fundraiser. I said, "You realize if you would cut that off?" It was after church. I talked to him about it. Him and his dad. "You would cut and put that in a baggie and auction Brother Jeff's beard off and put it like in the building, like the bus fund or whatever. They had different." I said, "People would buy that, and you could actually do something for the glory of God with that beard, especially and get it off your ugly mug." You know? But he said, "They're not cutting it. He's got to have surgery in about a week and something." I said, "I hope they, when you're asleep." I told his dad, "Tell that doctor, wait till they put him asleep, then they cut that off him, and we'll sell it." He said, "Preacher, you can make money no matter what you do." I said, "You just got to be creative, that's all." Just think of a year ago, just about a year and a month or so, I was in the hospital, didn't even know if I was going to make it. Isn't God good? Listen, today I am so thankful to my Savior. No matter what may come in my future, I know my Savior's with me. And Hebrews 13:5 says he'll never leave me nor forsake me. If you're a child of God, and I look at everyone here as a child of God, every one of us, aren't you glad no matter what happens, he'll never leave us nor forsake us? What a Savior. Today I want to proclaim, praise God, Jesus is my Savior and he's my Lord. And I'm glad he is. Can you say amen? Praise God, I'm so proud and blessed to be a child of God. Man, I'm glad I'm a child of God. I'm glad I'm saved. If you're glad you're a child of God, say amen. Man, I'm glad I'm saved. Man, boy, when you go back to Toledo, it's so depressing. Oh, I mean, not the people, but the areas. They're so run down and so much poverty and destruction and decay. Boy, I drive through places that we used to be, and oh, my lands, it's all gone. And it just makes me feel bad. But you know what? With God, we're never going to be decayed. We're never going to, I mean, listen, all we got is eternity to look forward to, Billy. Amen? With a brand new body. I praise God. He's my Savior and my Lord. I'm proud and to be blessed and be called a child of God. And what is that? Was there a scripture? I didn't have this plan. Let me see here. I should be able to quote it. Romans 8. Let me see here. Don't leave. Stay there. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Are you saved? You're not got no condemnation. But in verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Romans 8. For you're not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Nope. But you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy." Amen? The Spirit itself bears witness our spirit that we are the children of God. And then because we're children, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Join heirs with Christ. It shall be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. Hallelujah. Man, I'm glad I'm a child of God. Oh, man. I'm heirs. And join heirs with Christ. I don't care if you ain't got a nickel in your pocket today, you're rich. You're beyond rich. You got a royal priesthood, the Bible says. And praise God. And then I got this, praise God. My name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you still there in Philippians 4? Look at Philippians 4, verse 3. We start in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 3. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement, also with other my fellow laborers, whose names are written in the book of life. Hallelujah! My name's written in the book of life. How about you? If you're saved, then he goes, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I rejoice. Why? Hey, your name's written in the book of life. Man, I don't care what time I get you up in the middle of the night, you ought to be shouting hallelujah, amen, glory to God. I'm a child of God, amen. Your names are written in the book of life. You know, I got thinking about this. I want you to turn with me. Look what Jesus said to those 70 disciples that went out. Look at Luke chapter 10. Look at Luke chapter 10. I think sometimes we forget our standing with the Lord. Man, I'm glad my name's written in the book of life. Look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Now, Jesus sends these 70 out in verse 17. Luke 10, 17. And they do some phenomenal things, but I want you to see what Jesus says. How many got verse 17 with me? And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of enemy. And nothing shall be by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. I mean, man, you got all kinds of victory. But watch verse 20. Yeah, I know you got me. I know you got all kinds of stories. I know you got all kinds of victory things you want to tell me. But he said, I'm going to tell you where the real victory is. I was talking to the men going home last night after we prayed. I could almost write a book of all the things that happened in my life. Probably should have. From a young preacher, other older preachers said, you need to write a book and tell how God built that church on Glean and what he's done. I can remember, I was telling about Eileen. She was blind, and God told me to put my fingers in her eyes, and she'd receive sight. And we went to her, and we did, and she received sight. I told you that. I remember being in a place where a man named Joe Telmetz was going to. They said he in the hospital. He said you got your cancer. You're filled. You got about 3 months to live. And I remember walking in there, and Dave Luther saying, "What are you going to say?" And I said, "I don't know." Everybody was crying. And my mouth, I didn't do it. I said, Joe, you're not going to die. God's going to heal you so your lost brother-in-law can get saved. And I turned to that lost brother-in-law, and I said, when God heals him, you're going to get saved. And I walked out. I said a prayer and walked out, because when you get in your mouth like that, Eddie, you just better get out of there. And I remember Dave Luther saying to me, did you hear what you said? I said I did, but I didn't say it. He said, Brother Rich, you said it. I was right there. I heard it. And then you even pointed to the other guy. I said, I'm telling you, my mouth moved. But it didn't. It came out. I'm doing this for a point to you. And God did. By the way, they came a couple days later, took another x-ray. And they said, we don't understand it. Here's your cancer. Now it's gone. We don't have an answer. All we can solve is it's a miracle. And Joe, he lived for years. I've told you this story before, but I'm doing it for a purpose now. And I just story after story how, and this one lady was going to die. And he told her son she'd only have a few hours to live. She was in a coma like and everything. And my brother-in-law, Donnie, his mother. And then about 7 o'clock that night,
God said, go tell Anna she's going to live and pray over her. Sometime after midnight, I'm going to heal her. And I called Donnie because he was an unbeliever. You know, a lot of times God does things just to get people's attention. I said, Don, God, your mama's not going to die. God just spoke to me. And he's going to heal her up. He's going to raise her up. Sometime after midnight, he's going to raise her up. And I'm going to tell her right now. He said, okay. She's in a coma. She ain't got 3 hours to live, preacher. I said, I'm just telling you what God told me. Hung up. Went there. They had that thing over and everything. And I said, Ann, it's a preacher. She wasn't awake, Billy, but I wanted to let her know I was there anyways. I said, God just told me you weren't going to die. You're going to live. He's going to do a miracle sometime after midnight. And I'm going to pray for you right now, and God's going to heal you. And I prayed, and a little bit after midnight, about 1 o'clock that night, she woke up out of that coma. She ripped everything off, and she got out of bed. And the next day, instead of calling the funeral home to come and get her body, she signed out and went home on her own 2 feet. Now, I didn't do one of those. It was all God. And I got all kinds of stories because I know what God can do. Don't doubt God. He can do it. He can do that miracle out there on Infirmary Road, too. There's nothing that God can't do. I've seen him do it. I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't me. It was all God. Notice what he said there in verse 20. Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather you rejoice because your names are written in. How many are glad they're written in heaven? I don't care what goes on in this world. That all the healings, all the miracles, God gives us the money. That is tremendous, and we're going to praise God for those things. But the thing that we ought to get overwhelmed with, Brother Eddie and Liz, is that our names are written in the book of life. Not that people can receive sight. Not that people can walk again. Not that God can do this or that. We ought to get excited more than anything that our names are forever written in the book of life. That's what we ought to get excited about. I'm getting my Paul back, Rod. Starting to come back, feeling a little better. Isn't that a great verse there? Look at that. Because your names. I love that verse 20. Notwithstanding this, rejoice. Don't worry about all the great things you had in life, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's what we ought to get excited about. Amen. I want to praise God tonight. Even though I was a wretched sinner, Jesus still loved me. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love towards us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. That's what we ought to get excited about. Amen. I want to praise God for Calvary, where the just died for the unjust. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ suffered for all, that he was the just that died for the unjust. One reason, to bring us unto God. 1 Peter 3:18. Can anyone say amen? In Calvary, I want to praise God for Calvary, where Jesus made the difference for all human race, from Adam all the way up till he comes. Jesus made the difference. I'm going to turn with this last scripture, and I'll read this and I'll close. Don't tell me you got nothing to thank God for. We could thank God for eternity for what Jesus did. Acts, Romans. Look at Romans. I need to teach that book again. That book's such a great book. Romans chapter 5. I want you to look at a couple things with me, and I'll stop. Hope I'm not boring you. But look at Romans 5:14, and I'm going to go all the way to verse 19. Calvary's where Jesus made the difference for all of us. Thanksgiving, you ought to be praising Jesus for making the difference for us. Jesus was the difference maker, wasn't he? Nevertheless, verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even though they had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. Look at verse 15. But not as offense, so also is a free gift. Because you read Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. That dirty, rotten Adam, he sinned, and he subleased the whole world to sin and death. That boy, I'm glad I'm going to have a glorified body, because when I get to heaven, if I wouldn't, I'd give him a knuckle sandwich. You subleased us, you devil, for the whole race. He, you know, what can I say? But thank God Jesus covered it all. Amen? But not as offense, so also as a free gift, verse 15. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, yep, because it's much more the grace of God. You think what he did, well, look what Christ did. The gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as one that sinned, so is a gift. For the judgment was to one the condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense, that's talking about Adam, death reigned, by one much more, talking about Jesus, they had received abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, as by the one offense of one judgment came upon all men, the condemnation. God 3:19 in Romans says, the whole world, every mouth stopped and the whole world guilty before God. All men condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came unto all men on the justification of life. Boy, that's exciting. That's exciting, man. One gave us condemnation and death, but the other one gave us life and righteousness and justification. One gave us a sentence of death. The first Adam gave us death. The last Adam, Christ, gave us eternal life. The first Adam gave us condemnation, that dirty dog. But praise the Lord, the last Adam, Christ, he gave us justification. Isn't that exciting? I mean, we came from death in the first Adam to life in the last Adam. We came from being condemned and going to hell in the first Adam, but now we're justified, sanctified, set apart, and now we're going to heaven with the last Adam forever. Hallelujah. Makes you want to shout. If that ain't Thanksgiving, man, we could never thank God enough for it. I mean, there Jesus stood, there he hung on the cross from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the afternoon. For 6 hours he hung and agonized and suffered and paid the price for my sins, your sins, and the whole sins of the whole world. By the way, every person could go to heaven. Because he died from Adam, the first man. He died for all sins of the whole world. Brother Mel, someone says, God would never send no one to hell. You tell them he doesn't. They send themselves. Because Christ paid the price, Brother Mike. He paid the price from Adam all the way up to all mankind. Nobody has to go to hell. Because Jesus died for all sins. Just like the one man subleased us to death. Now Jesus said, okay, you want to have eternal life? Come to me. It's free too. Amen? Boy, I tell you, you're talking about Thanksgiving. You start thinking about what Jesus did for us. That's Thanksgiving. Oh, I could talk about how I like, thank God for my family, my church. I mean, that's an AI I am. But you know what? Tomorrow, think a lot about Jesus. I mean, I love my family. Don't miss. And I love my church. I do, beyond measure. But let's really love the Savior. Let's not forget to thank him tomorrow because of him, everything's happening for us. Amen? Okay, I'm going to close in this last verse. Look at verse 14 again. I know the Romans people know what I'm going to do already. Look at verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them had not sinned after similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is Adam, this first Adam, He was a figure of him that was to come. This first Adam, he in some way in type, he was a figure of him to come. You say, oh my lands, preacher, how could that no good devil, dirty rotten Adam be a type of the last Adam to come? I'll tell you how he was a type. That first Adam was in the garden, and Eve partook of that fruit. I don't know what it was. It was just a forbidden fruit. We'll find, if God wants to know what it was, when we get there, he'll tell us. The thing is, it was forbidden. The thing is, Stevie, they had a positive command. Don't touch it, don't eat it. If you eat it, you're going to die. Adam sees his wife eat it. Adam knows the command of God. He knows that positive command that God said, if you eat that, you're going to die. Think about Adam when you think about the creation. And God made animals. And you look and said, and he had Adam. And Adam gave names. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, and Adam gave names to animals. Then it goes on, but for Adam, there was none. And I can think right now, Adam's thinking, oh, my bride's going to die. Eve's going to die. My bride's going to die. I don't want to be without my bride. So Adam openly partook of his bride's sin in the Garden of Eden. And he partook of that sin so he'd be with his bride. 4,000 years later, Jesus. And the last Adam, Jesus Christ, came. And he went to Calvary's cross. And he partook of his bride's sin. All of his bride's sin, because he loved his bride and never wanted to be separated from his bride. And that was a figure of the come. Just like the first Adam took death from his wife because he didn't want to be separated, the last Adam didn't want to be separated from his bride, and he partook of our sin so we could live forever together. What a truth. Can anyone say amen? And so on this Thanksgiving night, let's thank God for all the many blessings, but let's really thank him tomorrow a lot for the greatest blessing of all, his son. Happy Thanksgiving. Jesus should be all of our Thanksgiving. He should be all to us because he gave it all so you and I could have. How many are glad he partook of our sin so we could be his bride? And there at Calvary, he suffered and died for his bride. He took all their sin. He partook of our sin so we could be with him. That's special. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the night we had together. God, we want to thank you for loving us. Lord, I didn't deserve for you to die on Calvary for me. I didn't deserve for you to even come out of heaven for me. Lord, to leave the splendor of glory, come down this sin-cursed earth. Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my church. I believe I got the greatest church in the world. Thankful for my family, my wife, all our relatives, and Lord, I thank you for everything. You've blessed me beyond measure. Thank you for all the substance you've given me and all the blessings, oh God, the shoes on my feet. Lord, everything that I have comes from you. Father, more than that, we want to thank you tonight for Jesus. Lord, Thanksgiving tonight, we just want to lift our hearts to heaven and say, oh God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us. You're our Thanksgiving, Father. You're our Thanksgiving to me. Everything. You deserve all praise and glory. And I pray your blessings on these families tonight. be with those that couldn't come. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people.